All right, the next song we're going to sing is number 123, Tell It to Jesus. Song. We're going to sing number 376, Nothing But the Blood.
Thank you. Okay. Killing me, brother. That's one way to get it started. All right, tonight we're going to be in 1 Timothy chapter 4. We're going to read verses 11 through 16. Of course, this is one of Paul's pastoral epistles to Timothy, which is one of his servants. He called him his son in Christ because he led him to the Lord. And let's stand as we read God's Word tonight. Verse 11, the Lord of God says, "These things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying of the hands by the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee." Father, Lord, we give thanks for thy word. Master, we give thanks for those that have come out tonight, Lord. And we just pray, Lord, that your presence would be felt. Lord, I pray that you would speak through me, Lord, and allow it to be your words and not mine, Father. Lord, we pray, Father, for the pastor and his wife, Lord, as they travel. Brother Bill and Miss Sue, as they travel, Lord. And for those that are sick and cannot be here, Father. Lord, but we pray, Father, for those that are here. Lord, there be one here, Lord, that knows thy son not. How we pray tonight to be that night, Lord. Lord, we pray that there be one that is strayed, Lord, that they would come back to the sheepfold and serve you again. Father, Lord, we just give praise and thanks for your glory. And it's in your son's name that we pray. Amen. Now, maybe see you. Ooh. Y'all pray for me. All right, these things command and teach. Paul, being inspired by the Holy Spirit, is telling Timothy, "Hey, listen, I got something that's important for you. Pay attention. These things God wants you to do." And they're simple. He says, "Let no man despise thy youth." Well, we all look at younger people and they don't know what they're talking about. They have no idea what they're doing. They're not old enough to understand. But Paul is telling Timothy, "Hey, look, be thou the example for others, for all the brethren." He's saying, you, Timothy, be the example that you're supposed to be. You follow the Word of God. You teach, you preach, and you act like you should. And he tells him, I lost my place. Here we go. Paul, being inspired by the Holy Spirit, is telling Timothy, "What I'm about to tell you, or you are to obey and to teach others." These things are instructions, and Paul is given to Timothy, they're not just for him, but for each born-again child of God. You might say to yourself, "Well, I'm no preacher," but that's okay. Because for the Word of God says in Mark 16:15, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." You may have not been called to be a pastor. You may have not been called to be a Sunday school teacher or a van driver. But if you're a child of God, God commands you to go forth and teach the gospel. And the gospel is simple. What's the gospel? It's the good news of Jesus Christ. That He died for our sins. That He was buried. And that He rose again the third day. And that's it. That's simple, right? Even Miss Kinsey, she can tell you that. She tells us every Sunday. Let me tell you, she does too. But it's easy enough. Even a 5-year-old child can do it. But so many of us don't. I heard a statistic today while I was listening one of my classes from in Bible college says 95% of Christians today never spread the Word of God. It's 5% of Christians are actually doing God's work. Isn't that sad? The only 5% of those who confess to be born again children of God do what God says. And that's just to tell others about Jesus Christ. And you know, I'm guilty of it. There was once upon a time I wouldn't go knock doors. I wouldn't hand out tracts. You know, but God chastised me a little bit and said, "Hey, look, dummy, if you don't do it, who will?" And He's right. If we don't do it, who will? How many other churches in Clovis, out of the 40 or 50 churches that are here, are out knocking doors and spreading the Word of God? Very, very few. So if we don't go forth as God commanded us and spread His gospel, who's going to? No one. Isaiah 6, verse 8. "Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here I am, send me." Could you imagine how much work we could get done if every one of us truly with all of our heart said, "Lord, here am I, send me. I'll go do it. I'll go drive the van. I'll go knock doors. I'll go down to the nursing home and sing a couple of songs to uplift them, to exhort them. They're our saints. Yes, Lord, I'll do what You said. I will honor them." But like I said, only 95% of us don't do it. Verse 12, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word and conversation and charity and spirit and faith and purity." Just because you are young does not mean that through the Holy Spirit you cannot be an example for others. We often look down and ignore those that are younger than us, and rightly so most of the time, because they do not have the knowledge nor the experience that we do. Paul is telling young Timothy, don't let them despise you or discourage you because you are younger than they. You, like all of us, be the example that we should be. How do we do that? God tells us in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, faith, and purity. Let's talk about the word. This is not only what we say, but also how we say it. James 3, verses 8 through 10. "But the tongue can no man tame. It is unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude, likeness of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessings and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so." Psalms 34, verse 13. "Keep thy tongue from evil, and thy lips from speaking guile," which is lies or deceit. This ain't new to everyone, but how often do we hear people blaspheming the Word of God? How often do we hear people telling lies about one another? How often do we hear people spreading gossip? You know, if you was to lie to someone and they catch you in it, and then a couple of weeks later you knock on that person's door and try to spread the Word of God to them, what are they going to do to you? They're going to ignore you. They ain't going to pay no attention to you. Oh, it's just no liar. Not one thing will they believe that's come out of your mouth. So you just lost your witness statement. The one thing that you should hold dear to yourself. And you lost it because you lied to them. Now let's talk about spreading gossip. For those that talk about one another. I'm not saying it goes on in here, but we all know it goes on pretty much everywhere in the world. But for those that gossip about one another, if you're my brother or sister in Christ and I need you to pray for me, I need your help with something, am I going to go ask you if you're telling everybody my business? No. So how are we supposed to pray for one another, lift up one another, if we're gossiping about one another or telling lies? We can't do that. Paul tells us to be the example we should be and hold to the truth. But it's not only your words, it is also the tone that you say them in. Oh, how true that is. If somebody talks to you in a condescending voice or in a degrading way, you're probably going to turn them off. If you're yelling or belittling somebody, they're not going to listen to you. So if you go up to knock at somebody's door and you're about as excited as this, "I'm here to tell you about Jesus." They're going to listen to you? No, you're going to be on fire for God. You ought to be happy for what He did for you. Be excited that He died for you, that you have a permanent home in heaven. You should never see the gates of hell. You should be excited about the things of the Lord. And you know what? Every time you meet somebody, that excitement should show on your face and in your heart. Don't hide it. How many know this little light of mine, the song? Everybody knows that song. You know what that little light is? That's Jesus Christ inside of you. And praise God, you ought to let it shine. Never hide it from nobody. Never let the devil blow it out on you. Let it shine because people are watching you everywhere. Everywhere people are watching you. So let the Lord, man, let God shine through you. Now let's talk about conversation. This is not talking about speaking, but this is talking about your conduct. Here we go. Everybody went through school for the most part except me. You know, Kentucky, we don't have school, but that's okay. But Noah, bless his heart, he is in Florida, so he has school. So the teacher, she sent home when he was K through fourth, was sent home a color of the day. Green, he got a high five. Yellow, he got talking to and a little bit of encouragement. And red, well, something else on him turned a little red too. So, but if God was to send the pastor a report card and report your activities of how well you did this year to the pastor, how many of y'all would get green? How many of y'all would get yellow? And heaven forbid, how many of y'all would get red today? And how many of y'all would even want the pastor to see it? I wouldn't. So are you truly, truly acting like you should for God? Just look at today. Just think about today. Would you get a green from God? Or would you be down in the red for God today? A little rough. What does the Bible say of how to act? Take 1 John 3, 7 through 10. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteous is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, but he is born of God. So pretty much, what you see is what you get. The Bible, he's saying that if you're righteous, you act righteous, you are righteous. Inside of you is righteous. It's not fake. Let me tell you, somebody's only... that says they're saved and not, you go, one day you're going to find out that they're not. They're only here for a season. They'll serve God for about a week or two. They'll get tired of it. They'll go do something else. They'll get mad at the pastor. They'll run away from the church. But those that are truly serving God, those that are righteous with Him, they're going to be here, just like y'all tonight. Charity. The Oxford English Dictionary defines it as Christian love. Christian benignity, a disposition expressing itself Christ-like conduct and right feeling towards one fellow's Christians. We all know that charity or agape love is a giving kind of love. We are not asked to die as our Savior did. We should, but we should love one another, that we have a desire to help one another. We should find joy in the fact that someone is growing spiritually. We should have a giving kind of love that we pray for one another, that we assist one another in a time of need, that we help one another, that we uplift one another. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is dedicated to charity. And Paul says in verse 13, "And now about it, faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest is charity." So how important is charity? Paul tells us, you know, hope and faith is great, but charity is the greatest of all. To have a giving kind of love for one another is outstanding. The Savior Jesus Christ had a giving kind of love for us. He gave His life for us because He loved us. So as Christians, we should love one another, not to give each other our lives, but to give our time, our help, our encouragement. Verse 13, "Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine." Give attendance to reading. 2 Timothy 15 says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." If you don't know the Word of God, how can you teach it? How can you defend it? And most importantly, how can you live it if you're not even studying the Word of God? I can tell you right now, I don't start my day, well, I try not to start my day, let me rephrase that, without studying and praying. Because if I don't start my day with God, my day just don't go right. And let me tell you right now, if you start your day with God, guess what you're going to be thinking about most of the day? God. You are what you put in yourself. So if you start yourself with God, and you drive to work and you listen to God, you get to work, and if you can find time to read God again, guess what? God is on your mind. If God is on your mind, guess what ain't? Sin. Satan. So you truly are what you put in yourself. So every chance you get, you should be reading, you should be studying, you should be praying, and you should be singing praises to our Lord. And in doing this, trust me, I found out myself, you're going to grow. Man, you're going to grow, and your mind's going to start changing. You're not going to be thinking of the things of the world, things of the devil, but you are going to stay focused on God and what God would have you to do, and God's going to start using you and moving you. And man, it's great. Ephesians 6:17, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. God is telling you, hey, look, take this with you. You know where you take it with you at? Right here. You hide it in your heart, and it will always be there. You can't remember everything, that's fine, but take this with you. But you know what? I'm going to tell you right now, if you take this book with you, and you have no idea what's inside of it, it ain't going to do you one bit of good. All it is just another book that you carry with you. You study this. You read this. You learn how to use this. And you use it against Satan and all the wiles that he puts out there. And it will protect you. I'll get that later. And I'm telling you right now, every day you read this book and you prepare yourself for battle against the devil because he's there. Exhortation. This is encourage one another. And it goes along with charity. We are to lift one another up in the Lord, to give words of encouragement, to soothe, to calm one another. And to truly be the Christian friends we are to be to one another, to love each other. Doctrine or teaching. There are several verses in the Bible that talked about doctrine. 2 Timothy 3:16-17. 2 Timothy 4:3. Ephesians 4:14. Hebrews 13:9. Just to name a few. The Bible says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. What's that mean? It means that people are not going to listen to the teaching of God's true word, but to the ear-tickling hogwash that these TV evangelists are spouting out. So for us, true children of God, we need to be busy truly teaching the doctrine of Jesus Christ. But let me tell you, that time, it's here. It's real close. People nowadays are not listening. You know, Sunday night we had off because of the snow and stuff, and first time in a long time I got to sit there and flip through channels. You know how many of them ragtail preachers were on TV? Man, it was horrible. I tried to listen to one. I got about 3 seconds in. I just turned it off. It was bad. Parents, woo, let's talk about a book you need to be teaching your children. Right here. The Word of God. You need to teach your children right now while they're in the mode to listen, to learn, and to hide it in their heart. Saints, take the time to teach the young adults. Older Christians, hey, guess what? It's your job, your charge to teach the younger Christians. And that's how we all get to grow together. 15. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy prophecy may appear to all. Paul tells Timothy, look, focus on these things that I've told you. And don't just go at it half-heartedly, but give it your all. You know, Christ didn't give us part of himself when he went to the cross. He gave us his all. And it started the day that he was born, because from day one, he had to walk this earth, sinless. If he didn't, it would have done no good to go on the cross, but praise the Lord, the Lamb went spotless, and he went for us. He gave us all, and unlike most Christians, to give just a little for a little while. So if you're going to do it right. Paul also tells him others should be able to see your growth. That holds true for us today. You and those of us that are growing in the Lord, your Christian brother should be able to see your growth. It's not important on your behalf for them to see it. It's important to y'all's behalf to see the growth in others. Isn't it exciting? Don't you get excited when somebody comes up here and kneels before and gets saved? Don't you get excited when somebody comes and joins the church? Don't you get excited when you see your brothers and your sisters growing in the Lord? Paul says, hey, look, people ought to be able to see it. But it's not for his sake, it's for y'all. Everybody ought to be excited about people serving God. If you're not, you might want to check your heart. Verse 16, take heed unto thyself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Paul is telling him to take care of himself and deserve himself and the doctrine or teaching and to keep in them. He's saying, hey, look, don't stray away from the way you should act, talk, or live for the Lord, but be cautious of what you're doing and what you're teaching. Why? He tells him, for in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Timothy was already saved at this point. But as a pastor, as a new pastor, he knows, Paul's telling him, hey, look, you're going to save yourself a lot of trouble. Just preach the word, stick to the doctrine, and keep the sin out of your life, and people are going to notice that. You're not going to have near as much trouble in your church if you preach the word of God, because the word of God is going to keep the trouble out of your church. And also, Paul's telling him, hey, look, one day, when you get to heaven, you're going to be accountable for everything that you did and said. So he tells him to save himself from it. And we have all heard Brother Chris preach the word, and God will take care of the rest. He also, one day, will have to answer to God the Father before the great white throne of judgment. Now let's look at the last part of this verse. And for them that hear you, here we go. Y'all ready for this? For them that hear you, I'll shut in and stay in the house all day long. Look, nobody. Cool. We're going with this one. So every one of y'all get out in the world every day. And you're around different people. People that don't know you. Some might. And what are those people doing? They're watching you. They're watching what you wear. They're watching how you walk. They're watching how you talk. And you know what? They're watching how you interact with other people. Are you just brushing by? Is the expression on your face a mean old scour? Or do you truly have a loving, God-fearing face? Are you happy? Are you excited about the things of the Lord? True Christian, I mean, don't tell me wrong. Every now and then we're going to be a little sick. We're going to be a little tired. But that should not be a continual thing. We should be happy that we're saved. And you know what? That happiness should be here. It should exude across our face. That's again, let's go back to let your little light shine. Because your light should shine everywhere you go. Let me tell you, one day you may only get one chance. God may set you up for a sinner to come across your path. And this sinner may be the only time that this person ever sees a true child of God. Now your actions that day is either going to turn him off or you're going to turn him on. So how you walk, how you talk, how you live your life, each and every second of every day counts. Because you never know who's watching you and when they're watching you. And if God set that up for a purpose. I pray every day. Every day I pray, and you can ask my wife, that my actions, or lack thereof, will never send nobody to hell. Heaven forbid I get the great white throne of judgment. And there'll be a line of people say, well, you had your chance. But the way you acted, what you say, or what you didn't say, punched their ticket. I couldn't take it. It brings tears to my eyes to think about it. So how you act matters more than what you think. Your witness statement, you only have it one time, most of the time. And if you lose it, guess what? You lost it. Somebody's always going to remember it. Somebody's always going to bring it up. Somebody's always going to use it against you. So your witness statement and how you walk is one of the most effective tools that you have for winning people for God. So, are you being the child of God that you are supposed to be? Are you being the example? Do you read and study daily? Do you exhort one another? Do you hold true to the doctrine? Is your growth in the Lord helping others to grow? Is your life, your walk, helping someone to heaven? Are you helping the devil punch your ticket to hell? Let's stand. Father, Lord, we give thanks for Thy word. Lord, we give praise to Your Son, Jesus Christ, and the blood that He shed, Father. Lord, we just pray, Father, that You would take Your word to our hearts, Lord, and apply it to our lives, Father. If there's anything, Father, that is wrong within me, Lord, or anyone else, Lord, we just pray that You bring it out, Father. Lord, we pray, Father, as we continue through this week, Lord, that we'll be the examples, the children that You would have us to be, Father, and that we will not fail You, Lord. Lord, we pray that there be one among us, Lord, here tonight that does not know Thy Son. Master, how we pray tonight will be that night. Lord, we just pray that You have Your way and Your will in our hearts and our lives. We just praise You and we love You in Christ's name. Amen. You examine your hearts, your life tonight? Are you truly, with each step and each breath you take, doing what God would have you to do? Have you answered the call and said, "Yes, Lord, I'll go"? But have you gone? And when you did go, did you give the Father your all in all? Is there something today that the Lord is talking to you about? Are you supposed to be serving Him now and you're not? Is there something in your life that's holding you back from serving your Father in heaven? The altar is open. You know, Christ was the last sacrifice that ever took place. So you can freely come to this altar and kneel before Him and give Him praise and give Him thanks and ask for help and guidance. Be ye not ashamed ever to kneel before the Lord. If there's one here tonight that's not sure of their salvation, you come forward with a man to take a Bible, a woman for a woman, and we'll show you how to be sure before you leave this house tonight. Still people praying. You still got time. Come, give it to the Lord. Whatever might be holding you back, give it to Him. He says, you have not because you ask not. Y'all be seated. We take our prayer requests.